So here we are, God's big but. And my wife said to me, she said, you really can't use that title because it's just out there. You know, I mean, if when they see this on the internet, and I'm kind of preaching to them also, you know, the sermon title, God's big but. I mean, if I'm going through the internet and I'm looking around sermons and stuff and that one comes up, I'm going, what? God's big butt? Does God have a big butt? I mean, your mind runs to that, you know, is there like a really big derriere or something? No. It's spelled B-U-T. God has a really big butt. Because you've ever noticed that when you talk to people, you're out there in the world and you're doing stuff, and we do it all the time, you know. You say something, okay, like you're trying to tell somebody something, and then you go, but. And then there's always something afterwards that contradicts what you just started out with, you know. And we're going to look at three buttle areas. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to throw it out there. Three buttle areas in the world. We're going to look at personal butts, congregational butts, okay, and cultural butts. That sounds interesting. And we have a couple in each one of the groups, so I'm going to read some of them off so we get an idea of what we're looking at here. Personal butts usually look like this, okay? And it starts out with, I would like to witness more, but, you know? And then there's always something to follow up. But you know what? I'm not good at talking to people. Okay, I'd like to witness more, but I'm not good at talking to people. I don't know my Bible well enough. I'm really shy. I don't have that type of personality like Dave Webster has. He just goes out there anywhere and starts talking to people. You know what I mean? My wife would like to take me shopping, but Dave's going to wander off and start talking to people. You know, and I won't have any help loading groceries or anything because Dave's off doing something, you know. And the second one, I would like to help with that, teaching, serving, doing something, but I just don't seem to have enough time. I just don't seem to have enough time. I would like to go to church, but I don't want to get up that early. Have you ever heard that? I mean, has that one come to mind for you? You know, you get somebody, you'll be like out there talking to somebody, you know, witnessing, and you go, you ought to come to church, and they'll say, well, I'd like to go to church, but they're showing their butts out there. You ever think about it that way? They're showing their butts. You gotta tell them, put your butt away. Put your butt away. Come to church. Come and fellowship with us. So those are all personal butts, and we all got a personal butt somewhere. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of skirting along this really fine edge of not getting into trouble here with our butts. And then we have a congregational butt. And Bobby knows a lot about this, congregational butts. I would like to do more missions, but we don't have enough money coming in to do that. Dan knows that one. I'd like to do more missions work, but I just can't seem to get away to do that. You know what I mean? There's always a butt somewhere hanging out in the wind, you know what I mean? Whistling in the wind, you might see. I would like to be more open to new members, but they may come in here and change stuff. They may come in and do things that, you know, that I don't want to see done. I mean, this is my church. I want it run my way. You know, I don't want their butts coming in here and terrorizing the place. I want it my way. I don't think we have that problem. I'm kind of preaching to the internet crowd also. The people out there. Hi, everybody on the internet. Anybody who's watching? Dave Webster, Heart of Christ Church. We love you, and we like when you listen to our sermons. But it would be really nice if you send us a letter sometime, let us know you were watching. I threw my butt out there. Here's one I like. This one's always a good one. That was a good sermon, but you offended me by this. Really? Oh. That's interesting. And then I put down, I have 5 cultural butts. Because generally there's a lot more butts out there in the culture, say of non-Christians, than, although we have our butts here in the Christian community, and we went over some of those. I would talk to you, but your beliefs contradict what my science says. Have you ever heard that one? I'd like to talk to you, but you know what? Your beliefs contradict what my scientists say. That's a really big but. You know why? I find it interesting because those scientists weren't there when all this happened. Darwinism, you know what I mean? They're just looking at the evidence they got here right now with a very limited intellect, even though they've got a whole alphabet behind their names. Really? Professor of... Oh, yeah. Were you there? No, I wasn't there, but I can tell by this rock in the ground. And, we all came from pond scum. Oh, okay. You can be from pond scum. I was created. God created me. I would maybe look at what you say, but you're too narrow-minded. You ever had that one thrown at you? You got a very narrow mind. You're too narrow. You know, I always say to them, but really broad and wide is the way to hell. I said, and you're on it. There's a narrow path over here that gets you out of that. Well, that's what I want to do. Okay. You get to go your way. You're not going to like it at the end. People, you know, somebody says I'm too narrow-minded when I say Jesus is the only way, right? I said, okay, you want to go that way, you're not going to like it at the end. And you're going to remember me telling you you're not going to like it at the end, but it's going to be too late. How about coming to our church and we'll show you a different way? I would consider your morals, but there are no absolute right and wrongs. It's all personal perspective. Really? It's a personal perspective? That's what's going on in our culture right now. They're teaching our kids, and they want you to follow suit, that there's no absolute right or wrong. I once got in discussion with someone about no absolute rights or wrong. And they were a liberal person. And he said to me, I get to choose what's right and wrong. I said, oh, really? Let's have fun with this. I said, I would never do it, but let me go get a big club and pound you in the head with it. Because I think that's right. He went, no, that's wrong. I said, well, why would you say that's wrong? He said, because you're hurting me. I said, yeah, but from my perspective, you just told me there is no right and wrong. I get to choose what I want. So I'm going to pound you in the head with a club. He said, well, I don't like that. I said, oh, I said, you want to choose right and wrong now. I said, why is that wrong? Well, I'm not sure. I said, let me take you back to scriptures. Let me take you to the Ten Commandments. And I showed them to him, and he went, well, yeah, that can work for me. I said, yeah, it could work for everybody else. I said, if there are no rules, what do you have? You have anarchy. Is that what you want? Well, he said, but I like doing what I like to do. I said, yeah. I said, how's your life going? He said, well, he said, I got a DUI. My girlfriend doesn't like me, and she's pregnant. All kinds of other problems. My parents are mad at me. I said, how's everything working for you doing it your own way? Not having any rules. Getting to just run amok, so to speak. He said, well, it's really not working for me. I said, well, duh. I said, you got to have some rules. There got to be some rules or there's anarchy. So I like that. It's all personal perspective. That's a really big butt, you know what? And it's hanging out in our cultural wind. I mean, we're paying for all this. All these problems in our families and in our communities is because there's no right and wrong. My mic is falling off my ear. There we go. I would consider your Jesus, but there is no proof he even existed. That's one that always gets thrown at us Christians. But we don't even know if Jesus existed. You know what I mean? So you got to take them back to Scripture. And I have a Scripture for each one of these, but I thought we'd just go through them so you kind of get an idea of what everybody's butt looks like. A lot of butts out there. Huge butts. Some of them stink to high heaven. You know what I mean? And the last one for the cultural butts. I would like to accept Jesus, but the government's against it. The government is against it. You know, we're starting to see a little bit of that here in America. You know, the government doesn't really, well, some people in the government, I should qualify that. Some people in the government really don't want to have Christianity around because it's getting into their way, okay? And they don't like it because, you know, Christianity has little rules and little guidelines and things to make things run smoother. And if things run really smooth, we don't need so much government, right? We could use a smaller government then if everybody's listening and doing what they're supposed to do. And they don't want that. There's certain people in the government that don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything except themselves. They want to make themselves into God. And they want a really big government so they can take money away from you and give it to someone else. That's just what's going on, right? And they like that. And while that money's passing through, they skim off some into their pocket. It's a big scam. It really is. So if everybody would just have Judeo-Christian morals and ethics, things would run a lot smoother. But they don't want that. So the government doesn't like Christianity. They'll bring everything else in. You can have a practicing witch, okay, in your government, but, well, not a Christian. Sorry, we don't like them. I don't know why. We're like some of the kindest people. We're generally quiet, except maybe Dave. You know, he's a big mouth. But for the most part, Christians just trying to get along. And they don't like us because they don't like Jesus. The world hates Jesus. Oh, my. So let's get through the Scriptures here. And I'm going to be in the NIV this morning because the Bible is lighter for me to use than my big, the normal Bible that I use, New American Standard Bible. That's really big, and this is kind of lighter for me. So if it doesn't kind of line up with your New American Standard, you know, we'll kind of work with that. Our first Scripture we're going to look at is for the personal butts. I would like to witness more, but it's in Matthew 28, verse 19. This is the Great Commission. We've seen that many times. But we're going to look at that because I'm going to take each one of these buts and we're going to put some Scripture to it, some perspective. I mean, these are all God's big but. You know, when you come up to anybody or anything, even in your personal life, think about it, in your personal life, you know, I would like to witness more, but... Okay, get your butt out there so we can get rid of it. But, you know, I don't feel like I can witness, okay? You can, all right? But, you know, I don't know my Scriptures that well. You can. Read them, right? Take your butt out of it. You have no butt in this. You're to witness. In verse 19, actually, I'm going to back up to verse 18 in Matthew 28. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I love that Scripture because think about it, that wipes out a lot of butts. I mean, it really wipes out a lot of butts. Is Jesus our friend? Is Jesus our friend? Yes, he is. He is our Savior. And he's just told us, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. That means he's in charge of everything. We don't have to worry about what's going on in our culture and in our world. We don't have to worry about North Korea. All authority has been given to our Lord and Savior Jesus. He's in charge of it all. He's watching it all. Now, he's allowing certain groups of people, certain individuals, certain nations to have their choice. But do you think the God of heaven, the Son of God, doesn't have everything covered? Oh, yeah, he's just allowing it to go, and he's steering it this way and that way. They think they know what they're doing. They think they have power. They don't. They don't. So if all authority has been given on heaven and earth, and he says, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. I'm going to be with you, Wendell. I'm going to be with you, Amy. I'm going to be with you, Dan. I'm going to be with you, Mitch. You know what I mean? I'm going to be with you always. Do you think he's going to give you the words you need to witness? Now, you don't have to be like me, running through Walmart shouting, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. You know what I mean? Not that I do that. Although I should sometimes, just to see what the reaction people would have. It would be really cool, you know it. Running through the men's jean department, Jesus is coming. And have people go, oh my goodness, somebody is running amok in Walmart. It could happen. And all be with their phones, you know what I mean? I bet you I can get on YouTube. They'd all have their phones going. Look at this guy. Wouldn't that be something? You're going through your stuff, and you're on the internet and stuff, and all of a sudden Dave Webster pops up, and he's running through Walmart in the men's jean department, okay, yelling, Jesus is coming. And the security's chasing him. Oh, I want to try and outrun them. And Amy is the car going from behind, going, Dave, stop. Stop, please stop. We got to get the groceries home. You're never coming to the grocery store with me again. Oh, my. But those verses. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Do you know where you guys can all witness? Just with people you know. You know what I mean? Like you go to the hairdresser. Or you have a friend who you know doesn't go to church. And you sit down, you talk to them, and you ask them, what's going on in your life? And they say, oh, this is terrible, that is terrible. You know, the older we get, the more things we want to talk about how things hurt. So when they tell you about how things are hurting, okay, say, guess what? You're getting closer to the end when you're going to stop hurting because the body won't work anymore, and then ask them, where are you going next? Open that door a little bit and say, you know what? I can tell you about someone who will take you to heaven, give you a mansion made of gold, cluster with jewels and emeralds, okay? Give you food for the rest of your life, or for all eternity, okay? And you won't be, no pain, no sniffles, no joints that go, ooh, boy, did that hurt this morning. And it'll all be over. Let me tell you about him. His name is Jesus. People open doors all the time for you. They do, all the time. Their butts are hanging out, okay, in the wind, and they open that door a little bit, and you can step in there and just talk to them. You don't have to be a theologian, memorize every scripture there is. I'm telling you, if you just read your Bible a little bit every day, those things get in there, and the Holy Spirit will reboot that up into your front screen when you need it. It'll happen. Happens to me all the time. I never know what I'm going to say when I walk up to somebody and talk to them about Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, my truck broke down. David was driving my truck, my big truck, my big diesel, and he had it over in Mount Joy, and I was working second shift when I was still the serviceman for MedEd, and he calls me, Dad, the truck's broke. Where you at? I don't know. Oh. And I'm driving the trouble truck. I'm working for MedEd, okay? Well, I got a big GPS, and I got a big map screen in there with a computer. I said, what road are you on? Well, I'm on this particular road. I said, okay, I'll be there in 15 minutes, right? So we get there. The truck is broke. It starts, but you can't get it above 2 miles an hour. And if you got any kind of a hill, forget it. The truck is going to sit there and go, it's not working. So we got it pulled over. We got it to a church, pulled it in the parking lot. To make a long story short, The next day I had off, so I went and got a tow truck with Bamberger's. We went over and got the truck, loaded it up, and while we're bringing it back to Lebanon, I'm talking to the tow truck driver. Have you ever heard of anybody called Jesus? Well, yeah, are you one of them Christians? I said, yeah, I'm one of them Christians. Are you going to evangelize me? I said, no. I said, you know enough. I said, are you married? Yes. Strike one. Problems, right? I'm going to get it when I get home, right? Strike one. Okay, but people have problems because they always have their butts. It happens. Do you have any kids? Yeah, I got two. Two and three. Yeah, he's looking at me like I'm nuts. Who is this maniac that I got in my truck? And we're driving back to Lebanon. I said, you know what? I said, somebody's probably already talked to you about Jesus, right? Yeah, I've heard about it. I said, you ever go to church anywhere? No. I said, really? I said, how long have you been working on cars? All my life. I said, great. I said, I got a car I want to sell you. I said, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. You can't see no pictures of it. And you have to buy it for $100,000. He said, well, why would I do that? I said, you're doing the same thing with your life. I said, I'm not telling you to become a Christian. I'm not telling you to accept Jesus Christ. I said, but go find a church that teaches the Bible and find out if it's really true. I said, check it out for yourself. I said, why go through the rest of your life, end up in hell, and you never checked out the other side? No buts about it. Just give it a chance. I said, you wouldn't buy a car unseen or unchecked out, right? No, I wouldn't do that. I said, you're buying a life, a lie, without checking out what Jesus has to offer. I said, it's that simple. It's that simple. Get your head out of your butt. Right? It's that easy to evangelize. It's that easy. A tow truck driver. I just started asking him a couple of questions. And before I knew it, he's thinking, well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I don't know if he will, but he might. You don't know. You don't know who you're going to influence just by being yourself. Christ has given you a special personality, and it fits so well with the people that are around you that it's easy to evangelize. It's easy. And God and Jesus is going to be with you for the rest of your life. He's not going anywhere. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's going to give you the words to say. It might not be the exact scriptures, but I'm telling you, you're going to be able to witness to that person so easily just by being yourself. It's so easy. Our next but, I would like to help with that teaching, serving, doing other stuff, but I don't feel like it. Okay? That probably covers all the buts. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. Right? These are all personal ones. So in the church, go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. Let's see what the Lord has to say about that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. Now here Jesus is talking to the church of Thyatira. Did I pronounce that right, Daniel? Thyatira? Huh? Thyatira. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Some of the words that you have to pronounce sometimes, they're really something. But in verse 19 it says, well, actually I can back up to verse 18. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like a blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. His eyes are blazing fire. He penetrates everything. There's nothing hidden from his sight. And he says, I know your deeds. I know your love and faith, your service, your perseverance, that you are now doing more than you did at first. Our Lord knows everything you do. Every place you serve, in the minutest little amount, okay, whether it be in the congregation or church, whether it be at home, whether it be at work, He knows everything you're doing for His glory. Because that's the reason we do everything. Even if you're fixing a car for your wife, and you do it for the glory of God, it counts. You know what I mean? You're fixing a meal for your family, for your husband, okay? And you're putting love into it. For the glory of God, it counts. All right? You open that car door for somebody, a little old lady or something, or a little old gentleman who's trying to get his groceries in from, you know, leaving Walmart. And you just be kind. I know you have to be careful nowadays that you don't overstep certain bounds. But when someone's struggling and you help them, you have the mind about you to be a servant, okay, that butt all goes away, you know. You're lying to yourself when you say, I would like to help with that butt. That butt just means that that's all a big lie. But I don't want to do it. But I don't have time. But I don't feel I'm qualified. Get your hands in there. Get your feet in there. Get your heart in there. Help wherever you can. Be a help. I want to go to church, but it's too early in the morning. It's too much work to get dressed. I worked all week long. You know, I want to sleep in Sunday morning. I want to go to church, but when someone gives you that one, say, huh, you're lying to me. You don't want to go to church. Or you'd get up. There's no but. We're part of the congregation. We're a family, as we were talking about in discipleship. We're a family. We watch each other's butts, so to speak. How often do we need each other? Is there something going on in your life that you need to talk to somebody, okay? And ladies, I can say this, you know, you're tired of talking to your husband because he's not listening to you anyway, right? There's somebody in the congregation that wants to listen. Can you imagine that? We're family. And you know why? We want to be family. You know, there's the old saying, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Well, that's not really true. Because in this place, you pick, you choose to come to church. You choose to make each other your family, to love each other. So when someone says to you, you know, I'd like to go to church, but cut them off. Put your butt away. You're lying to me anyway. Come and see what it's like. It's not perfect. It can get a little messy sometimes, but we love each other. There's a lot of people out there that are lonely. Get after them. Oh, my. And then we go to our, I got a scripture for that. We're back in Matthew chapter 18. I want to go to church, but we're going to head back to Matthew a little bit. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 20. Now, we just experienced this today. We experienced it. We got Brother Dan up here. We got to lay hands on him. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Now that is an interesting scripture because Jesus said, I'm always with you. Individually, Jesus is with us, right? Congregation nods their heads, yes. Yep. Okay. But this scripture, there's that but again. I love that word. You know it. It just, you can use it everywhere. In this particular application, Jesus is telling us that when there's two and three of us together, or there's 25 of us together, okay, there's a special indwelling of Jesus with us, okay? Because Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they are a community. Before any of this was ever created, there was three that are one. So community is very important to God. That is why we need to come together as a congregation at least once a week on a Sunday, if not more. Because there is a special indwelling of the Spirit when God's people come together and we start helping each other, we start praying for each other, laying hands on Brother Dan. I mean, any Sunday morning, and I know Pastor Rich would agree with me on this, any Sunday morning that you need prayer, you need to have hands laid on, I want you to ask for it. That's the type of church that we should be. We should be able to ask for it in the middle of the service. Brother Dave, I have a problem. I hurt right here. Lay hands on me. We need to do that. Because we are a community. We are a congregation. We are a family. And that's why it's so important to come to church. Because this is when we get to meet each other. This is when we get to greet each other. This is when we get to be with each other, hold each other's hands, listen to each other's problems, listen to each other's joys. My son David's going to graduate this year. Woohoo! Oh, yeah! We made it. David is not an academic. Hates school with a passion that he lays on his mom because she's trying to get in there. And I'm following up behind her going, David, listen to your mom. Right? Listen to your mom. I hated school, too. I hated it. Here I'm going through college to be a minister. Duh. I don't know how that happened. I have hope for him. Right? And he has a job. He's got a job at a body shop. He's going to be one of those auto mechanics. Body guy. You know what I mean? That's a great joy for us. I wanted to share that with you. I want you to share your joys with me. Share your pains with me. And with Amy and with everybody. That's what we do. We come together as a congregation. That's why I want to go to church, but I don't get there. You're missing out on it. When you get somebody like that, tell them to put their butt away and get it into church. Now, the congregation ones, we could do more missions, but the money. Bob, you've heard that, right? I think we're doing very well as a congregation right now. Our missions, I think so, Dan, our missions are doing real well. We take care of missions. So there's no but for us in that. But you out there on the internet, if you're in a church and your church is struggling, okay, to get their missions done, and I'm looking at the cameras, I'm looking back and forth, and I don't know which one they have on me. That one there. Why, thank you, Pete. God will provide a way. Dream big. That's what we do here. And we're ending up 2017. 2017 is just about over. I don't know how good of a year it was for you guys. It was pretty good for me, okay? I got a new job, all right? I don't know how well that's going to work out yet, but I'm doing it, all right? So 2017 is almost done. It's going to finish up tonight. I think the Heart of Christ Church did well. We finished well. God blessed us, but it's soon gone. Let's look to 2018. You know what kind of dreams I want in 2018? I want God's dreams. I'm tired of my mediocre dreams. They're just not big enough. As much as I can dream and as far as I can look, wrong chicken. That's what Pastor would say. Wrong chicken. Not a big enough chicken. I want one of God's chickens, big ones, you know what I mean? I want one of his dreams. Let's vision into the future what God would have us do. Let's dream his dreams as a congregation, but also individually. What does God have in store for you? Rut, what does God have in store for you? Let's dream really big. You know what I mean? I love you so much. Come here, give me a kiss. Let's dream big. I don't want my little mediocre dreams. You know what I mean? I dream maybe in the 6 months or something. And maybe to go on vacation somewhere. Where? Please. Yes, Amy wants to go on a vacation. Let's dream about a vacation. Let's dream of, let's think. Jerusalem. For 6 months. Whole package paid. You know what I mean? Walk in the ways of Jesus. Get the sandals on. You know what I mean? The robe, whatever. Walking around out there in the desert in Palestine. What? My poor wife. I'm going to get it when I get home. Dream big. I haven't even given you half of this sermon. Okay? I dreamed really big in this sermon. Because when I got the idea and Pastor Rich said, run with it, on God's big butt, I went, this is going to be fun. Okay? I was just told I have to bring this up, all right? Because we have a little bit more to do. We have a song to sing and stuff. Let's go with this, okay? Our butts get us into a lot of trouble, okay? I'd like to do this, but I want to help here, but you know, God, I'm listening, but let's put our butts away and get rid of them, okay? B-U-T. Enough butts. You know what? Butts just mean you're lazy. Butts sometimes can be sinful. Let's quit that. Let's dream big. For 2018, let's ask God what we'd have each of us do individually and what he would have us do as a congregation. Let's dream those big dreams. Let's vision with God's eyes. As far as he can look. Can you imagine that? I see great things happening for the Heart of Christ Church. There's a congregation down in Maryland, and I got to go down there and preach with them people. And they're a small group of people, maybe about half the size of this section. They're just, you know, and they're meeting in a house, and they feel really, you know, kind of beat up. You know, we're a church, we're meeting in a house. Let us pray for them. Let us build them up. You know what I mean? So what if they're in a house? That means all the funds coming in can go out in mission work that they have. Can you imagine that? They're doing what God would have them do on a shoestring. Kind of like what we're doing. We're on a shoestring, and most of the funds that we have, excuse me, they go out into the missions. Can you imagine God in heaven going, oh man, the Heart of Christ Church, they got it. They're doing it. They're impacting people's lives. They're telling them about my son, Jesus. You know what I mean? That's what I want. I want to make an impact in this world that makes people put their butts away. And they go, I want to get part of this. I want to be on board for this. These people are having fun. This is really cool. They don't care what anybody thinks about them. They're going out there and they're just loving people. That's what makes it different. Love with agape love, the same type of love that God gave us through his son Jesus. Love till it hurts. There's probably a rock song about that or something somewhere, I bet. Well, we're done with God's big butt. And his butt is truly huge because he takes all our butts and just wipes them away. But I have given you my son. Everything you say to God, I can't do that. And he says, but I have given you my son. I have wiped away all your sins. I'm going to be with you personally to the end of your earthly life and beyond. What more do you want? Right? There's no but to say to that. Except, lead me on, Lord Jesus. Where would you have me go? That's where we need to be for 2018.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.